She had not had such dreams in years, not since leaving home for the Fleet Prep School. Even at home, they'd been rarer as she got older, although they had been frequent enough to worry her family. Her stepmother and her father had both explained, at tedious length, their origin. She had run away once, after her mother died. A stupid and irresponsible act mitigated by youth, and the fact that she was probably already sick with the same fever that killed her mother. She had found trouble, a minor battle in the insurrection now known as the Califer Uprising. Her father's troops had found and rescued her, but she'd nearly died of the fever. Somehow, what she'd seen and heard and smelled had tangled with the fever during the days in coma and left her with the bad dreams of something which had never really happened. Not as she dreamed it, anyway. It made sense that being in a real battle would bring back those old memories and the confusion the fever engendered. She really had smelled spilled guts before. Smells were particularly evocative. That was in the psychology books she had read secretly in Papa Stefan's library, when she had believed she was crazy as well as lazy and cowardly and stupid. And now that she understood where the nightmares had been leading, trying to link her past experiences with her present, she could deal with this consciously. She had had nightmares because she needed to make the connection, and now that she had it, she would not need the nightmares. She fell asleep abruptly, dreaming no more until the bell signaled the time to wake. That day, she congratulated herself on figuring it out and instructed herself to have no more nightmares. She was tense at bedtime, but talked herself out of it. If she dreamed, she did not remember it, and no one complained of the noise she made. Only once more before they reached Sector HQ did she have a nightmare, and that one was even easier to understand. She dreamt she came into the court-martial, and only when the presiding officer spoke, discovered that she was stark naked. When she tried to run out, she could not move. They all looked at her and laughed, and then walked out, leaving her alone. It was almost a relief to find she could have normal nightmares. At Sector HQ, her replacement uniforms were ready, delivered directly to the quarantine section aboard the ship by guards, who clearly felt this beneath their dignity. The new clothes felt stiff and awkward, as if her body had changed in ways that measurements could not reflect. She had used the minimal fitness equipment in the quarantine section daily, so the difference wasn't flab. It was something more mental than physical. For the first time, the young officers were called before the Admiral as a group. Esme wore a new uniform, so did everyone else. An armed escort led them. Another closed in behind. Esme tried to breathe normally, but could not help worrying. Had something else gone wrong? What could it be? Admiral Serrano waited, expressionless, as they all filed into the office, packed in so close that Esme could smell the new fabric of their uniforms. The Admiral had responded to each formal greeting with a little nod and a flick of her eyes to the next in line.
It is my duty to inform you that you have all been called before a court to explain, if you can, the events leading up to the mutiny aboard Despite and the subsequent involvement of that ship and crew in action at Xavier.
Esme heard nothing from behind her, but she felt the reaction of her fellow officers. Though they had known it must happen, the formal words delivered by an admiral of the fleet struck with awesome force. Court martial. Some officers served from commissioning to retirement without being threatened with an investigation, let alone a hearing before some board, and certainly without standing a court martial. A court martial was the ultimate disgrace if you were convicted. It was a blemish on your career even if you were acquitted.
Because of the complexity of this case, the Judge Advocate General has chosen to handle it with utmost circumspection, but also utmost gravity. The precise charges have not been determined for each of you, but in general, the junior lieutenants can expect to see charges of both treason and mutiny, which the JAG is not considering mutually exclusive defenses, one for the other. That is, if you were a party to treason, this does not defend against a later charge of mutiny, and vice versa.
The Admiral's bright black eyes seemed to bore into Esme's. Did she mean something particular about that? Esme wanted to blurt out that she was not and had never been a traitor, but discipline kept her jaw locked.
I am authorized to tell you that the reason for this is the high level of concern about benignity influence in the officer corps. It would not have been feasible to ignore that possibility in this case. Your defense counsels will explain it to you. The ensigns are being charged with mutiny only, except in one case where investigation is still in progress.
But we haven't even seen a defense lawyer.
Ensign Arpan, isn't it? Did anyone give you leave to interrupt, Ensign?
No, sir, but—
Then be silent.
The Admiral looked back at Esme, who felt guilty that she had not somehow gagged Arpan, but the Admiral's look conveyed no rebuke.
Junior Lieutenant Suisa, as the senior surviving officer and former captain of a mutinied ship in combat, your trial will necessarily be severed from that of the officers junior to you, although you will be called to testify in their trials, and they in yours. Additionally, you will face a captain's board of inquiry to investigate your handling of despite in battle.
Esme had expected this, in one way, and in another had hoped that one investigation and judicial ordeal might subsume the other.
Because of the unusual circumstances of the Xavier situation, including the actions taken by Commander Serrano, it has been determined that you should all be transported to Fleet Headquarters for these courts-martial on another vessel.
Esme blinked. They didn't trust Admiral Serrano because of her niece? Then she remembered all the rumors, now demonstrably untrue, about Harris Serrano and her departure from Fleet.
Commander Serrano will, of course, be facing a board of inquiry herself, and three of you will be called to testify to that board.
Esme could not imagine who might be thought to have useful information there.
You will be allowed communications access to notify your families, and if possible, speak with them directly. But you are not to communicate with anyone other than your families. Specifically, you are ordered under penalty to avoid discussion of this case with anyone in or out of Fleet, except your defense counsel and each other. I strongly recommend that you not discuss this among yourselves any more than you already have. You will be closely observed, not always by those who have your interests at heart. You will be met at Fleet Headquarters by your assigned defense counsel, and you will have the usual resources then to prepare yourself for court.
The Admiral's gaze raked the lines for a moment. Esme hoped no one would ask stupid questions, and no one did.
You're dismissed. Except for Junior Lieutenant Suisa.
Esme's heart sank through her boot soles and the deck she stood on. She stood while the others shuffled out, watching the Admiral's face for any clue.
Sit down, Lieutenant Suisa. This is going to be a difficult time for you, and I want to be sure you understand that. Yet I don't want to panic you. Unfortunately, I really don't know you well enough to know how much warning it takes to scare you too much. Your record as an officer doesn't help me along. Can you?
Esme had no idea what to say. For once, yes, sir, wasn't enough.
You did very well at the Academy Prep School. You were rated high, not brilliantly, in the Academy itself. I would guess you're not the sort to look up your own fitness reports. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you may not know that you've been described as hard worker, willing, not a leader, or steady, competent, always completes assignments, shows initiative with jobs but not people, leadership potential average.
The Admiral looked at her, but Esme couldn't think of anything. That's about what she'd thought of herself.
In a lifetime in the fleet, Lieutenant Suisa, I've never seen this sort of fitness report, one after another, from prep school all the way through, coupled with the kind of decisive leadership you showed with Despite. I've known some quiet, unassuming officers who were good in combat, but there was always, somewhere in the background, at least one little glint from that undiscovered diamond.
It was an accident. And besides, it was the crew who did it, really.
Accidents do not just happen. Accidents are caused. What kind of accident do you think would have resulted if Junior Lieutenant Levadi had been senior?
Esme had wondered that. In the aftermath of battle, Liam and Peli both had been sure they would have chosen a different insertion velocity and vector. But she remembered the look on their faces when she announced they were going back.
You don't have to answer. I know from his interviews. He would have sent the same message you did, and then hopped back to Sector HQ, hoping to find someone handy. He would not have taken Despite back. And although he can justly critique your tactics on system entry, he himself would have been far too late to save the situation.
I'm not sure. He's brave.
Courage isn't the whole issue here, and you know it. Prudence and courage make good teammates. Cowardice can be as rash as story cube courage.
The Admiral smiled, and Esme felt cold.
Lieutenant, if you can puzzle me, I assure you that you are puzzling the rest of the fleet even more. It's not that they don't want you to have done what you did, but they don't understand it. If you can hide that level of ability all these years under a bland exterior, what else are you hiding? Some have even suggested that you are a benignity deep agent, that you somehow set up Commander Hearn and engineered a mutiny just to get yourself known as a hero.
I didn't.
I don't think so myself. But right now, there's a crisis of confidence all over the Familius Regnant, and it has not spared the regular space service. It was bad enough to discover that Lepescu was making sport of killing fleet personnel, but to find that three traitorous captains could be dispatched to something like Xavier, that has shaken the confidence of fleet intelligence as well it should. By all rights, you should be whisked through the obligatory court as quickly as possible, and then hailed as the hero you are. And don't bother to deny it. You are. Unfortunately for you, circumstances are against you. And I expect you and your defense counsel will have a rugged few weeks. Nor is there anything I can do about it. Right now, my influence could only harm you.
That's all right.
I wish I knew you and your background better. I can't even tell if you're sitting there complacent, reasonably wary, or terrified. Would you mind enlightening me?
Numb. I'm certainly not complacent. I wasn't complacent even before your warning. I know that young officers who get involved with mutinies, for whatever reason, always have a stained record. But whether I'm reasonably wary or terrified, that I don't know myself.
Where did you develop that kind of control, then, if you don't mind my asking? Usually our intakes from colonial planets are all too easy to read.
The Admiral knows about my father?
One of four sector commanders on Altiplano. I presume that means you grew up in some kind of military household. But most planetary militia are less formal than we are.
It began with Papa Stefan.
Esme was not entirely sure it had really begun there, because how had Papa Stefan accumulated the experience he passed on?
It's not like fleet, but there's a hereditary military, at least the leading families are.
But your file says you were raised on a farm of some sort.
Estancia. It's more than a farm, and fairly big.
Fairly big hardly described it. Esme didn't even know how many hectares were in the main holding.
But Papa Stefan insisted that all the children have some military training as they grew.
Not all military traditions value the absolute control of facial expression and emotion. I gather yours does.
Mostly.
Esme couldn't explain her own aversion to the unnecessary display of emotion without going into the whole family mess. Bertol and Sonny and the rest. Certainly, Papa Stefan and her own father valued self-control, but not to the degree she practiced it.
Well, I wanted you to know that you have my best wishes in this matter. After all, you saved my favorite niece. Excuse me, Commander Serrano. And I won't forget that, no matter what. I'll be keeping an eye on your career, Lieutenant. I think you have more potential than even you suspect.